The Center for Faith and Justice is works for justice through social analysis and theological reflection on issues of structural injustice. And Europe is one of the European Union is one of the main economic and political structures. So it very much makes sense to look at Europe and analyze what are the impacts on terms of policy that come from Europe. So we feel very much at the moment that Europe is at a crossroads, and the vision and values that it's going to choose in the next year has going to have a huge impact on the welfare of all its citizens. And our particular concern to us are the most vulnerable, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the unemployed. So it's particularly on those issues and those policies affecting that group that we were particularly concerned at. We looked at the issue of identity, because that's very much at the end of, do people feel part of Europe? Do they feel part of the policy making? What are their frustrations? There's undoubtedly been successes in Europe in terms of a peace project, in terms of the economic, the opening of the common market, the common currency. But yet there's been lots of concerns about policies. At a global level, there's concern about the CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy, and the injustice in that. There's questions about is there huge pressures on what's known as the European social model and the protections that have been inherent in traditional strong European countries like France and Germany, and whether there's a pressure coming from the US model to privatize and to move away from the kind of social protections that have previously existed in many European countries.
So how many people would we be talking about in Europe who, in your opinion, would be vulnerable or who would be sort of on the fringes of society?
Well, one of the speakers today gave us a figure of 69 million people in Europe facing poverty. That's a huge number. And then you've got to put in, that would look at the actual income level. It doesn't consider all of those who are vulnerable due to illness, or elderly. There's a huge pension problem coming down the line due to the demographics in Europe. So this is a problem that's likely to get larger rather than less. And then not to speak of the huge number of people who are coming into Europe, economic migrants fleeing countries, you know, where they have either conflict or poverty or famine. And that reflects the disparity in global wealth, you know, in terms of, and so if Europe needs to look at how does it, what's its role in addressing those concerns and addressing that kind of inequality in income and wealth worldwide.
And what is the trend? I mean, I read recently that in America, you know, the trend is that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer and the divide is widening. I mean, is that the trend or the worry for Europe at the moment?
Well, Europe is kind of looking at a three-pronged approach and trying to look at how it's developing. There's three pillars. There's the Lisbon Strategy, which is an economic pillar, there's a social pillar, and there's an environmental pillar. The worry is that the emphasis is on the economic pillar. And certainly certain countries in Europe, I don't think you could say there's a total European trend, because I think you always have to go down to the national level. In the successful European countries like Ireland and the UK at the moment, the trend is definitely more towards the American, the US model, where while the countries overall, their economies are growing very strongly, they are certainly becoming more unequal. The countries which have traditionally strong social protections, they've actually had very, very slow economic growth, and that's Germany and France. And they're coming under pressure then to change their economic, their labour protection. So there's a very strong protection of labour. And the concern is also that not only will they just make the labour force more freer in terms of labour standards, but also then there's pressures in terms of social welfare and basically a retreat of the state, moving away from state intervention and more towards a privatized solution. The concern that happens is when you look at the US as a hugely unequal country, is this massive underclass of vulnerable people that have no protection at all. And so is there a solution that will allow people to optimize economic growth while also maintaining a social safety net for those who are most vulnerable in the societies? And that was part of the issues that were discussed today to try and look at.
And you yourself are a trained economist. I mean, do you think there is such an economic solution that allows for growth and still protects the vulnerable?
I don't think there's any one-size-fits-all. But I think what we have to look at it is people tend to look to maximize economic growth, which means if you can get 5%, why not get 6%? Maybe we need to look at and say what's more optimal economic growth. So maybe we will give up a couple of percentage economic growth, but actually allow for a more sustainable, which means for more sustainable safety nets, social safety nets and stuff like that, because they will come at a cost in terms of economic growth. So I'm not saying that seems a very simple solution. The actual implication of that is much more difficult in practice. But it seems to me it needs to maybe to be a change of mindset from, as I said, the maximization, putting everything on economic growth as a sole measure of an economic success, but also looking at the overall other issues of quality of life. How do we treat all our people? And looking at indicators, looking at, I suppose, maybe closer to the Human Development Index that takes account other factors, not just economic growth in terms of the measure of success of a society.